Chapter 13. Spoiler. A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas. The war with Hibern is here, and now everyone inside and outside the Court of Dreams has a lot to lose. In this chapter, we're going to look and reflect on the roles of each of those characters in the war, and how they would have never won it without everyone that was involved, with special mention of the monsters in the world of Akawar. My name is Nisma. Turn the page.
Welcome to another chapter in Between the Pages. My name is Haneen.
And my name is Nesma.
To Josh, every moment with you is a gift. Long ago, when I looked up at the stars and wished it was for someone like you to be in my life, I truly believe those stars listened, because getting to share this wild adventure with you has been a dream answered. I love you more than words can convey. This was in the acknowledgments in the end of Akawar, and it actually made the story so much more realistic, yeah. and real. Yes,
like all of a sudden, Rhys may be the embodiment of her husband, yeah. And she is Farah, or so not necessarily. She is Farah
just on some level, like. It's there, it exists.
The personality traits of her husband, she integrated them into Rhys, and maybe like even put some more things on top of it. So it's like nice to know that it's like based on real, authentic people. Yes. Yeah.
it made the story so much, have so much value, more value to me, you know. It's like, wow. I don't have words for it. I don't know. Like when I never read acknowledgements.
Yeah, neither do I. It just happened. Or I just skimmed through it.
Yes, I read this and I'm like, Josh, oh,
that Josh.
I think it wasn't the first one here. I read the acknowledgements in Kingdom of Ashes, I think. And she referred to him getting her snacks and
yes, like, you read that to me.
So, yeah, yes.
And she even thanked him, like, thank you for taking care of our daughter when I had to write or something like that.
No. She was...
When was that? No, that was in Frost and Starlight.
Yes. She was pregnant then. She knew she was pregnant. Yes. But she got a boy.
Yeah.
They had a boy.
Right. They had a boy. I'm sorry.
Whose name is...
I don't follow these things in the details. So yeah. I apologize if there are any fans out there who are offended. But like, no. How can you not know that she has a boy and not a girl?
I know all of this by chance. But like, I guess she named her boy something with a T. But it was a weird name, actually. Like, yeah? It was like one of her characters.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
Yeah, that's goals.
I mean, like, she's goals anyway, in every aspect, in relationship goals and author goals and beauty goals. Mashallah, she's mashallah, very pretty. Yeah. Okay, so that was a different introduction for today. We skipped to the very end of the novel.
The very, very, very end.
And now we want to talk about the plot and the characters and what we thought of Farah and Rhysand and Tamlin and all the other characters in the novel.
Yes.
Yeah, literally every single character.
They are so many.
Yeah. Wow. And I loved that. I loved that we had such a huge world to explore. And I love that really every nook and cranny of the whole world that they live in, the realm, we explored it all. There's no place that we haven't seen.
Like some courts we haven't seen, but we
have heard of them.
From the high lords of these courts, we sort of know how they are, you know, the feel of them.
I mean, we've seen them and we've interacted with them and we've seen how they talked and what they went through and all their backstories, like the one who
Love the Lady of Autumn.
Yeah, oh, their story is so beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know why
when
she's
he waited
still
for her for how many years? 50 years was it, or something like that?
200 years.
200 years, right? Wow.
I don't remember. Wow. I may not be correct, but he waited for so long. And, yeah.
There's
I
like
don't
a
know
range.
Why is she with Baron? Why? Anyway.
Anyway, let's get to the beginning and the start of the novel. I guess I'll just refer to the things that I liked at the very beginning. Let's focus on Farah, I guess, first, right?
Yeah. Okay. Wait. I'm not there yet. I want to talk about when I finished A Court of Mist and Fury.
Yes, go
and
ahead.
And there was still a week till A Court of Wings and Ruin comes out.
Wow, I don't know how you did that. Like, seriously.
It was torture.
I would not have been able to wait
torture.
All of that.
It was, like, a week of, like, in this week, the very first line of A Court of Wings and Ruin became so famous in that week. It was, social media. It was, the painting was a lie.
It was a lie.
That was it, I think. And, like, oh.
I have a question. Huh? What do you think that sentence refers to? Like, interpretation. Like, literature then, no? What do you think that sentence refers to? And why use that sentence as the beginning of a novel? You know, the start of a novel. I have some ideas, but I want you to answer
well,
first.
Well, like, for the start of a novel, it did its work. It's attention grabbing. It's
yeah,
like,
that's
if anyone
true.
Is at the store and they read the first line, they, like,
yeah.
Okay. What's going on, you know? But in a literary manner, as much as I can.
You can interpret.
Yeah. It refers to the whole situation. Like, it's exactly
what she's like, doing.
Okay. Reese wears his masks of, like, the High Lord, the unruffled High Lord.
Yeah.
She wears paintings. Like, wow, that's cool. Okay. Let's go with this. I'm narcissistic. Sorry. But I mean, like, imagine it this way. She wears paintings. She makes tapestry in her head.
Yeah.
And she wears it and acts through it, I guess.
Ooh, nice. I like that interpretation. I would have never thought about that. Well, let me contribute my interpretation.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm the literature person here, so I should be able to
ahead.
Do this.
The mic is yours.
So, I think it refers to her situation that she is undercover in the Spring Court. And she's, in fact, painting a picture, but it's not what she wants them. Basically, it's what she wants them to see, but it's not the truth. So, she's painting something. We don't know what she was painting, right? We don't know specifically what it was.
We know if we continue reading.
If we continue reading. I think she was painting something as in a way to show them that she's not a threat. Mm. Or to hide
and
the fact
she's
that she's a spy.
Into her happy,
exactly,
Feyre, happy, grateful so, Feyre.
Exactly. So, it's like the same idea. Like, I think our ideas can coexist together. Mm. So, this is like her mask. Mm. Of hiding that she's actually undercover and she's a spy and that she's gonna destroy them all. Because if she were to paint a picture or a painting of what she truly, her true reflection inside of how she feels, she would expose herself, you know? She would, like, maybe paint a picture of how she's killing everyone in Spring Court or how she's punishing Tamlin for what he did to her, you know? And then they would see what her true intentions are.
Yeah.
But
or not even paint these scenes. She would use darker colors.
Yeah,
you know that would
exactly.
be a tell. You know.
Yeah.
Like she.
So it's a lie. The painting is a lie because she's the lie. You know.
Yeah.
She's not real.
Well, of course. Then
she's the wolf. What did he call her again?
Remember, you're a wolf, and you cannot be caged.
Exactly. See, that's what I mean. Everything is just so perfectly connected.
But then when I was like still waiting for the book to come out, I knew she was at the Spring Court And okay, yeah, she's painting again, good, but like, what's happening? You know? Why does she have to paint a lie, you know?
Or, yeah.
Like, but we knew from Akumov that she would do something to Tamlin, but
yeah.
But this whole week, I felt like all I felt was dread, you know? A lot of dread of her not being reunited with Reese.
Yes.
And I would lose what I just went through with Akumov, them being mates, and then, oh, did the mating bond disappear? Yeah. Or like, what happens?
I have to say that the cliffhanger of Akumov is so good, because it's so healthy in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you ended with the perfect image of Reese and Farah actually being married and mated and having the bond together. So even though they're apart, she's safe, you know?
Yeah, yes.
You know they're
emotionally
together.
Emotionally,
they're connected, okay? Uh-huh. And you know that Farah is backed up with a family, you know? Mm-hmm. You know that Azriel...
The reaction. Do you mean to tell me that my high lady is in enemy hands right now?
Yes!
Wow.
Oh my god, you're gonna make me cry now.
So yeah.
I love that story so much.
I just
much.
Didn't want to go through the pain
The pain of their separation.
But you mentioned that you liked that it didn't go that way.
Yes, like, yeah. I loved how, you know, an author's element is always using something against you so you continue reading.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the easiest thing for an author to do is to separate the lovers for you to anticipate their reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of authors stretch it out for like most
a
of
book.
The novel, you know, because that's literally what's gonna make you continue reading.
Mm, exactly.
But really, Sarah J. Maas used her elements so perfectly that even when they were together, you weren't bored. You were happy that they were together, you know. Usually even if you watch TV shows or movies, usually mm-hmm. when the couple gets together, you get bored.
Yes, and like disinterested.
Yes, exactly. Oh, they're together now? Oh, that's fine. What else can we do? You know, like, but with Reese and Farah, there was always this element of what can they do together? What does it mean when they are together? They're so powerful and they belong to each other so much that just they are perfect, you know, and apart they can never work, you know, or they can work, but
they
like
can work,
but like they're better together. And I loved how it felt like coming home, you know, when they were together.
Hmm.
You know, like the scene when he picked her up from the floor, and you know, we're not gonna go into detail.
Somewhere else to be.
But that moment was so romantic, and so I just wanted to hug the book and hug them both, you know. It's like, you two deserve each other. Relish in this and grow together, you know.
Yeah.
And
then it went on from there of each one of them having, like, well, let me articulate this.
Yes.
Like, she and her sister, he and his conflict with Moore.
Yeah.
The allies, the war, how to face this. It went from, okay, they're reunited. Then the book is about the war and the threats for their family, for them being and continuing to be with each other. So, yeah, like...
Yeah. It's like a perfect fit. Like the puzzle was just complete, you know?
Yeah.
And throughout all the war stuff, and we still had moments where with Reese and Farah, you know, she didn't forget them, you know?
Yeah.
She always gave us more like pieces of candy, you know? Here, حاجات صبرك.
Appetizers.
Yeah. All right, so one more thing that is really strong, you can really see it happening in the third novel, is that Farah's character is developing so much on a very high level.
And in an empowering way. It's like she does something and like, wow, I can do this.
Yes. Like, you even told me when she was, there's this moment in the war, or no, I don't remember when you told me there was something that Casey and taught her to do, and you were like, yes, Casey, and you taught her well, or something like that. I can't remember. You told this to me like a couple days ago.
Was it the Nephel philosophy?
Yes.
The Nephel philosophy. It was Asriel, so. About the flying.
Yeah,
I think. Oh, and she started to learn flying in this novel.
Oh, yeah. I love that too.
That was, I loved to fly.
Her, I loved her eagerness. You mm-hmm. know, I loved how she didn't just sit around and, like, she wanted to help. She wanted to do something. And Rhys didn't stop her from doing that because, again, we know what happens when when
someone
you do
stops
that.
Her. But, like, no, it's like she wanted to
feel like she's in control.
She wanted her own painting to be complete.
Yes.
The wings, the flying, the high lady.
Yeah.
Her part in the family. Everything. Aww. Her being his maid. Yeah. Everything, you know. So I think it's all part of that.
Yeah. I mean, throughout her development, I was saying before we recorded that I wanted to address the fact that Ferris' character throughout the whole three books, she's completely different throughout the whole mm-hmm. three. Like, she's one person in the first one. She's a completely different one in the second. And then another one entirely in the third, you know. And she is the perfect combo in the third. Like, she has finally reached the peak of her character development. This is the best she can be. And there's still more room for development, of course. But I mean, from a power perspective, she feels more confident, mm-hmm. more powerful. She feels more in control. And in the second novel, she was broken. You know, mm-hmm. she was, like, grieving. She has PTSD and trauma and depression and all these things, like figuring out what she wants in a relationship and actually knowing that Tamlin is not good for her, you know, and that Rhys is
learning her self-worth.
Exactly, learning what she needs as mm-hmm. As a person, and or what she doesn't need, basically. And in the first one, she was like codependent, or more dependent, so to say. She was reliable on other people. She needed other people to make her happy, you know. And I guess now we have the full picture of her character, finally.
Yes. Yeah, by the end of the book we have it, especially when she went and faced the Ouroboros, faced herself. That was it for her, like, as in the novel,
yeah,
you know, like that's it.
That's the
full
moment.
Stop, Farrah, yeah. Full stop. You know,
yeah.
When she faced and loved all what she is and the monster inside, all the good and the bad, and
mm-hmm.
I think people need this. Like,
they
need to accept everything about themselves.
They
and
need
not
to
let
like
anyone
love and all that stuff
tell them otherwise. They're good and beautiful and successful and everything. They have everything inside them, and they just have to look inside, I guess.
Exactly.
Face the Ouroboros.
Oh.
Don't go mad.
All right, so what's next on the list?
I guess we talk about each character, including the monsters, their role in the war and its success, and those moments that were like they were in doomed and then like salvation,
like
you know
they made a huge difference.
Wait, before we go into that, in the part where they were separated, Rhys and Farrah, I listened to a song recently and I felt it fits this time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What song?
Satellite by Above and Beyond.
Ooh, I never heard that one before.
It goes this way. I don't know if I'm gonna sing it or just say the lyrics.
Just say the
My
lyrics.
My voice is awful. Okay, so if I remember correctly, it says, "You're half a world away, and in the night I whisper every single word you say."
I think you showed that song to me before.
Yeah. "And before you go to sleep, you pray to me, your lucky star, your singing satellite."
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing that before.
Yeah.
That's such a cute song.
You know, I like
go when check it out, guys.
Yeah, check it out. When I listened to it for the first time, I had a feeling I know this song, but I haven't listened to it before. I even went to ask my sister, "Do you play this song around the house?" And I'm like, not aware. They were like, "No." I'm like, "Where did I hear it?"
It doesn't seem your sister's style anyway. Neither of them.
But. And then it felt familiar, but what felt familiar about it wasn't the tune, it was
the story, lyrics.
The lyrics, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Let's go into characters.
All right. Who should we start with? I guess we should start with the very important ones. We already covered Farah, so I guess we can talk about Resent.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it's already obvious he's the High Lord of the Night Court. And
he always has plans and have something up his sleeve and like everything. So when she comes back, they go to the Court of Nightmares. He has something that he isn't telling Mor. And he knows it's going to hurt her, but the...
What was that again?
Eris, the one who left her after her parents nailed
a note to her stomach. Yeah. Oh, crap. Okay. Yeah.
We're still going to talk about Eris. Anyway. So, yeah.
That asshole.
That he would let his father fight in the war. So now they're securing allies, basically. And in return, the Court of Dreams would find a way to get rid of Baron, his father, the High Lord of the Autumn Court. But what hurt Mor...
more pay attention.
She was that Rhys gave her father like visiting
permission
to Velaris, and that was like her thing, her home. She doesn't want it to be tainted by her father, so that created sort of a rift between them that they kept to like after the war. What else did he do? Other than during the meeting with the other High Lords and his natural ally, the High Lord of Day. Mm-hmm. Yes, Day. The one who he and Feyre noticed that he's Lucien's father who loves the...
Yes!
Yeah, that's the High Lord Helion.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Loves the Lady of Autumn. Anyway, so yeah, other than that, his sort of mating gift when he brings in Stygia, the weaver.
Okay, the weaver. Just say weaver.
So yeah, that was his sort of part in the war. Other than, of course, his incredible powers and leadership and everything.
Yeah.
And of course, in return, Feyre brings in Bryaxis and the Bone Carver. And these monsters have the role of like wiping out forces. In
They have like huge of, powers.
Yeah. Amran.
Ooh, Amran. Let's talk about Amran.
Yeah. Amran, we asked ourselves before, why doesn't she just go to the King of Hybrid?
Right.
And all this, remember?
But we talked about this. Why does Amran just not use her powers and wipe out everyone?
I think that the king is still more powerful than her in her fey form. So that's why she didn't do this.
Yeah.
She needed to be unleashed. And she still didn't have the spell to do it until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Until the serial. See? Everyone has its part.
Everyone has their part to play. Uh-huh. It's like the Shakespeare quote, you know? Like the world is a theater or something?
The world is a stage.
It's a stage and...
Everyone has their entrances and their exits.
Yes.
Yeah. I love this quote.
This is literally what describes Akawar. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
Everyone has their entrance and exit.
Yes.
Literally. Not everyone, I mean, some people exited. But yeah.
I mean, but we didn't lose anyone.
We lost the serial. We lost the Bone Carver.
Yeah.
We sort of lost Amran. And we sort of lost Rhys. Remember that?
Yeah, but I mean, we didn't lose them. You know, they came back.
I know.
Yeah. I don't like the fact... I'm sorry that I'm going to jump forward. But I don't like the fact that Rhys came... came out without any harm, you know? Like, you know, it would have been more... I know it would have been terrible, but, you know, what would have been interesting is maybe if he didn't have the power he used to have, you know? If he was a little bit more less than before. Because now he's just the same as before, you know? He died and he came back and he still has the same amount of power.
You know, and what you're saying would have solved some of their problems. That Feyre has too much. That their children will be hunted like he used to say.
Yes.
Like, all of this, you know?
Yeah. And I think it would have made more sense, but I think now the readers are more satisfied because I think she doesn't... You don't want to make the readers your enemies, you know? You still want to make them happy.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the way you make them happy. Of course, she took Rhys away for like a couple of pages, but then he was back again.
Yeah. You know, while I was reading this part, I was,
Of course he's going to come back.
Of course, it's just...
fake. Yeah. Of course, I knew that.
Yeah, he wasn't... No, I was not real. In such denial.
Yeah.
Until he came back.
Until he came back.
See, I didn't have to go through the rest of the stages of grief.
No anger. No, what are the stages?
doubt, anger.
Acceptance.
Acceptance.
What didn't he?
I don't know.
What after that?
What, denial? Depression?
I don't know. We should research this.
Yeah. We shouldn't talk about something we don't know.
Exactly.
Why do we keep doing that?
I don't know. All right. So.
Okay, who else had a big role? Okay, Cassian was... okay, he leads the aerial fleet.
He was like a meh character, but it was great that he was there, you know?
You mean in the war, but like... Cassian as Cassian.
He's fantastic. I mean, like in the war, didn't contribute.
He was like just the general, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Him and Nesta had like a whole thing, you know. Like right before they die. Like, seriously, girl, does your man have to die for you to admit your feelings? Like,
she
get yourself a grip. I don't know.
Difficult.
She is very difficult. I thought I was difficult, but no, I'm not like on Nesta's level.
You're wrong. So yeah, let's go to Nesta and Elaine. We're not organized here, but like
we're just going with
conversation
the flow.
Goes. Yeah. Okay, Nesta and Elaine. I want to say something before we like go into it, but Nesta and Elaine. Okay, so Feyre went through sort of the same thing, even more harrowing, actually. Than what they went through to be made as Fae.
Yeah.
Okay. They were just captives and thrown into the cauldron.
Yeah.
Feyre went through hell for 3 months. So, like, I don't understand why they're holding on to this for so long. You know,
why are they so overdramatic, you know?
Like, okay, how do I put this? I wanted to see their own journey of being healed like Feyre.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to have this in a core. But I think it's too soon. But no, Feyre had the same thing at the end of Akutar.
Yeah.
And then in Akumaf, she got that healing process. So they had the same thing in the end of Akumaf. Why not just be
I think Rhys was a big, big, big part of that healing, you know? And I think he knew how to help her. You know, with all the teasing.
Yeah.
You know, when he kept teasing her to get her back?
In a way, play with me.
Play with me, getting her attention. And I think Nesta needed that, but I guess she's not the kind of person who accepts that kind of healing, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, I want to do it on my own. I don't want anyone to interfere with my healing process. And that's why her healing process is very slow. Because she's in her head all the time, you know? She doesn't have anyone to tell her, snap out of it. Don't you think about that right now, you know?
Okay, but I don't think I want Cassian to be the one, or Lucien, or Azriel.
Neither do I.
Feyre is trying so hard.
To help her.
As well as Rhys.
You know, it should be Feyre who helps her with that, you know? But she's not accepting any help. Not at all. Like, she's not even willing to heal, you know? You can't help someone who doesn't want help, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved, you know?
That was something that, like, was on my mind for a while.
That's like, true. That's why? True. But I think with Nesta, it's like kind of a rebellious kind of thing. With Elaine, I think it's a mind thing. Mm. I think she's actually really messed up. Like something happened in her brain. She switched. Mm-mm. You know, she's completely different. Nesta's still the same, but her like stubbornness is heightened.
Oh, or you know, it's her armor basically. Yeah. Nesta is so Elaine is so fragile
that something like that broke her.
Elaine is grieving her human life,
yeah,
in a different way than Nesta. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was starting her life with someone that she loves.
Right. Poor girl.
Okay, so she's feeling heartache over someone as well as like this, wow, I'm changed, my life is really over,
yeah, that kind of
thing. And the
what's
it called, the future telling thing. I don't remember what. The seer thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you think Grayson, if he was accepting, would have helped her get out of it? I mean, Azriel is doing a very good job.
Yeah. Oh, I think they should be together, really.
Yeah.
Azriel and Elaine. Really, they're the perfect match. Forget Lucien. Lucien is too much of a... He's too eager. Like, he's too up in your face kind of thing, you know? Like, calm down. Calm down, Lucien. Like, she's not going to like you right away.
You have Ian, so. Yeah. No, but I mean, Lucien, there is something missing about Lucien.
There is, isn't
there? He was so active in ACOTAR.
Yeah.
Like, he was...
And then all of a sudden, he went missing. He went off the radar in ACOTAR.
Yeah, even when he's there, he's... Yeah. Low key.
I mean, we know why he was gone, but we don't know what happened when he was gone. You know, you even said to me before that you want like the missing chapters of what happened with Lucien. When he went to the human father, world.
With Vasa,
yeah.
With Eris, even before this whole war
happened.
In the years before with the history with Moore. There is another side to it. Yeah. And his story with Lucien and Lucien's lover. I don't think he was the bad guy then.
Right.
I think there was something.
Something happened, yes. Yeah.
I think he's...
We need like a novella for him especially.
Especially, exactly.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think
people care that much, you know?
Okay, not about a in character novella. Like him. Maybe, you know, those entries on the website where you have...
Ah, okay, maybe, yeah.
Like, yeah, Cassandra Clare does this a lot, I guess.
Interesting.
Anyway... Okay. Yeah, so...
Yeah. So, getting back to Nesta and Elaine
and their role in the war.
Yeah. I personally... I didn't like the fact that Nesta was pushing Farrah away so much.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
It was like... I don't know.
You're so connected to Farrah and Rhys. And Rhys is upset about Farrah being upset from Nesta. So, you're upset as well.
It's like a circle that never ends.
Yeah.
But okay, let's put that aside. We already talked about it. Let's talk about the roles in the war.
Mm-hmm.
Nesta played a huge part.
Yes.
Okay.
She tried with her role in the beginning of trying to patch up the wall. Like they were going for this plan, but then it was pew!
Like a bubble.
Yeah, the King of Ivern.
I think what I was afraid for Nesta, I just remembered this. Just had
go
a flashback.
On, go for it.
When I was reading that part, I was afraid for Nesta to fall back into her depression when that didn't work, you know? Because finally she cared about something again, even if it wasn't necessarily anything.
Yes.
She had a purpose. She had something to do. Her powers were being used, you know? She had to practice her powers as well. Like, she can't just not use her powers.
And she could finally get along with someone, Amaranth, surprisingly.
Surprisingly. So, I was really afraid for her to fall back into that cycle of being, like...
Out
of the loop and angry all the time and pushing people away. I mean, she does that on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that it was going to be heightened again, you know?
Yeah.
But surprisingly, that didn't happen. Yeah. She was actually pretty cool, like, after that wall.
Not cool, but she surprised us by going with them to the meeting and
agreeing
to tell her story.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, like, she wasn't like pulling away again. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So I guess
like it made her her defeat made her angry to do something.
Do
you
something
know?
Again.
And the opposite
know?
Of yeah, just, yeah. I don't care about the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess she's not the kind of person who gives up. Like, you know those people who when they fail at something, they don't try again?
Mm.
I guess Nesta is like, when she fails, no, she has to prove herself over and over that she can do something,
mm-hmm.
that she can be useful. So I guess her character is not completely useless.
Yeah.
So to say.
Yes.
And Elaine, on the other hand, what frustrated me with Elaine is that people weren't listening to her.
Exactly.
They were people just, weren't paying attention.
Her,
like,
and that's it.
Even except I picked up on it.
Azriel.
Even
yeah.
I picked up, like, people, she's telling you something. She's, okay, she's talking in riddles, but please decipher it. I think your IQs are pretty high.
I mean, you're fae.
So please just take a couple seconds, Gida, and think about what she's actually trying to tell you. But they didn't. They just think she's babbling about rubbish or anything. It's not anything specific that they... It's not like she's seeing the future,
yes.
you know?
Yeah.
And I guess it does make sense from if you're living in the moment, if that is your sister and she's like having like mental issues.
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't take anything seriously that comes out of her mouth, but
and it was a good arc of them not ignoring and then realizing and then using it, you know?
Yes.
It's like
Yes.
Yeah. And then
you know, Elaine reminds me of a cartoon character. I don't know why. When I picture her, I always picture her like daydreaming all the time.
Wow.
Okay. And having like a high pitched voice. Like Tinkerbell or something. I don't know.
Wow. Nessa.
Hey, don't judge me. That's what it is in my head. I mean, okay. Elaine is blonde, isn't she?
I guess.
I think Elaine is blonde.
And very fair and very beautiful and very delicate. She's a stereotype, basically. Okay, so, and then her other role was stabbing the king in the neck.
Oh, yeah. That was like a Game of Thrones moment.
Yeah, with Nesta, like the... What is it called?
The knife?
Beheading him with truth teller, but
the
like...
The truth teller? Yeah.
Elaine stuck it in and Nesta
finished the job. Yeah, I guess that's their role, basically, like Elaine and Nesta, right?
Yeah.
And I think without them, the whole thing would have fallen apart as well. Like, they were important.
The king, who would have killed the king? The king was basically winning.
Yeah.
And without Nesta expelling all of this power, the cauldron wouldn't have pulled back.
Yes.
And, and without Miriam and Draken coming in with their aerial fleet and their...
Oh, I love
boats and the father showing up. That was such a moment I cried.
Yes.
I imagine my father doing something like this for me.
You know, that's such a Game of Thrones moment as well. You know when, what's her name?
The sister.
Yes. Sansa.
Oh, Sansa, yes.
Came with the army from Littlefinger.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
saved the battle.
Moment,
that's
yes.
the same moment.
But I like that they had a light moment in between where they were talking with Draken and they were like, shall we like help you or are we going to stay and talk for all this time? You know, something like that.
Yeah.
They were like, they're funny.
Sarah J. Maas is funny.
Yeah, she is funny.
Yeah. Moving on to Azriel. What was Azriel's role in the whole thing?
He's the spy, so he gets information.
Yes. And he helped Feyre
with her...
What
vital information did he get? He got the information about the queen that is missing and has a spell on...
Yes.
On, that has a spell on her.
Wow, I can't remember. I don't know what I would do without you. I don't think I could do this podcast without you. Really, after I read a book, all the details fade. What remains are like the peaks.
Mm-hmm.
And what just like the important moments, you know? And everything else is just blurry.
Wow. Okay, Nissan. Good to be here.
Yay!
Yay!
All right.
Okay, and he gave Elaine truth teller, which then Elaine used to kill the king.
Yes.
He saved Feyre from the king at the camp.
Yeah.
I mean, he went.
He
there.
Saved her several times, didn't he?
Yeah. He taught her to fly.
To fly.
And
yeah.
he told her about the Nephel philosophy.
Yes.
Where, wait, let me get the quote.
Yes.
We, Reese, Cass, and I will occasionally remind each other that what we think to be our greatest weakness can sometimes be our biggest strength, and that the most unlikely person can alter the course of history. So the Nefel philosophy. If you don't remember, Nefel, she wanted to fly in the aerial legion in
the army
of Draken.
Yeah.
Okay, Prince Draken. But her wings were small and deformed, and their wingspan was small. So she couldn't fly very well. But during this critical moment in the battle, the Draken Prince and like his court has this power of wind, like using wind.
Yeah.
So they parted the sea, and the army walked down the sea floor then went to the other side. Except Miriam, his mate.
Mm-hmm.
So Nefel saves her. She carries her with her small wings and flies between the coral leaves because of her wingspan is small. And like the sea is coming down on them. It's like, imagine it, the Pirates of the Caribbean thing.
Right, okay. the last movie.
Yeah, the last movie. And she flies out of the sea and she saves Miriam. And like, so every day every year they have a celebration called Nefel Day. The Nefel Run or Fly, something like that.
Yeah.
So Reese was visiting Miriam and Draken, and they told him of the story, their last story, after that they disappeared. So he came back and told Azriel the story to like give him hope, because he learned flying late and like he had this old trauma in his childhood. So
I love Azriel, and Selma even said that she adores Azriel. Yeah. I think it's her favorite character in the story. And he has like such a lovely backstory. I mean, he went through hell, but I mean, like, I love that there's a lot that he went through and it shaped his personality and stuff like that, you know?
But I mean, it's like this philosophy is, I guess, what they used in Game of Thrones as well. I mean, who killed the... Oh, that could be a spoiler!
This could be a spoiler.
Okay. Okay, if you
but
watch
I mean,
Game
we
of
did
Thrones...
say that this is a spoiler episode. But no, it's just referring to the book.
Okay.
We don't want to spoil Game of Thrones. I mean, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, hello, what are you doing?
Exactly, but if you have watched it, I guess you know what I'm talking about.
The most, like, every time I look back on this novel and I try to imagine, like, what did I love the most about it, is that I finally found my favorite quote. Like, I know most people, their favorite quote is the star thing, but I have this other quote. It says, here it is. If Rhysand was night triumphant, I was the star that only glowed thanks to his darkness, the light only visible because of him. I love that quote so much because it just explains their relationship so well in just one sentence, and it's just so perfect. Anyone who disagrees with me, you'll have you will lose this argument. Because really, that's one of the most beautiful quotes I've ever read in the whole entire series. Really. Yeah. It's so beautiful. And it always makes my heart so warm whenever I read it.
I see all of you, Reese, and there is not one part that I do not love with everything that I am.
Aww.
Let's go through the quotes we highlighted, yeah. okay. You don't need to apologize, ever. I looked up, finding his gaze on me. Not angry or frustrated, but sad. Knowing. I want to share this bed with you. Though I breathe, I want you to hold me. Stars flickered to life in his eyes. Always, he promised, kissing my brow. His wings now enveloping me completely. Always.
Aww.
I guess that was when they were at the palace of the Dome Court.
Yes.
And Tamlin was sleeping with them under the same roof.
Yeah, yeah.
So. That's... I like these moments more than the erotic ones.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. Of course. It's like, duh.
Yeah, like the hugs, not the kisses. The, yeah, yeah. The spooning, not the, you know.
We get it, honey. Yeah, we get it.
Okay. And then there is the one we talked about. Remember yeah. that you were a wolf and you cannot be caged. That was when she was going to the camp to yes. save her sister.
Yes, 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 yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. When was that quote that before the meeting, when she was dressed up in that beautiful black gown?
But that's it. If he was knight triumphant,
That was it, that was right? When it,
yeah.
That
and
was
then one. I no, see all was, of you, and I love.
Yes, that yeah, one. When that they one. Said something to each other.
And to each other. Yeah. Yeah. Because they were going as themselves, yes. and there was this possibility of them being rejected as themselves. You know,
exactly.
When they're most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was the speech before them going into battle.
Okay.
I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Our family, our court, the court of dreams, they all quieted. Rhys looked them each in the eye, even my sister's, his hand brushing the back of my own. Do you want the inspiring talk or the bleak one? He asked. We want the real one, Amarin yeah. said. Rhys pushed his shoulders back, elegantly folding his wings behind him. I believe everything happens for a reason, whether it is decided by the mother or the cauldron or some sort of tapestry of fate, I don't know. I don't really care, but I am grateful for it, whatever it is. Grateful that it brought you all into my life. If it hadn't, I might have become as awful as that prick we're going to face today. If I had not met an Illyrian warrior in training, he said to Cassian, I would not have known the true depth of strength, of resilience, of honor and loyalty.
Wow.
Cassian's eyes gleamed bright. Rhys said to Azriel, if I had not met a shadow singer, I would not have known that it is the family you make, not the one you are born into, that matters. I would not have known what it is to truly hope, even when the world tells you to despair. Azriel bowed his head in thanks. Mor was already crying when Rhys spoke to her. If I had not met my cousin, I would never have learned that light can be found even in the darkest of hells. A.K.A. the night of the Court of Nightmares. That kindness can thrive even amongst cruelty. She wiped away her tears as she nodded. I waited for Amarin to offer a retort, but she was only waiting. Rhys bowed his head to her. If I had not met a tiny monster who hoards jewels more fiercely than a fire drake, a quiet laugh from all of us. Rhys smiled softly. My own power would have consumed me long ago. Rhys squeezed my hand as he looked to me at last. And if I had not met my mate, his words failed him as silver lined his eyes. He set down the bond. I would have waited 500 more years for you, 1,000 years. And if this was all the time we were allowed to have, the wait was worth it. He wiped away the tears sliding down my face. I believe that everything happened exactly the way it had to, so I could find you. He kissed another tear away. And then he said to my sisters, We have not known each other for long, but I have to believe that you were brought here into our family for a reason too. And maybe today we'll find out why.
All right, they all did. Right, yeah, they did.
I surveyed them all again and held out his hand to Cassian. Cassian took it and held it out his other for Mor. Then Mor extended her other to Azriel. Azriel to Amarin. Amarin to Nesta. Nesta to Elaine. And Elaine to me, until we were all linked, all bound together.
Yay!
That was... that.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Akuar.
Akuar.
I mean, this series is so beautiful, and I can't wait for what's to come next. Of course, I already know kind of an idea, because we read Frost and Starlight, mm-hmm. and there will be an upcoming episode of what we thought about Frost and Starlight, and, like, prediction, plus prediction, what we think will happen in the next book. Mm.
I hope we have good ideas.
I hope we do. I mean, there are a lot of things, especially with Farah and Nesta and Elaine and Cassian, and so there's still a lot open of what could happen.
Yeah, there is a lot of possibilities, and I believe maybe we'll have more characters. Maybe we'll have something from the perspective of Vasa on the other side of the continent.
And I want to see what happens to Tamlin.
And speaking of Tamlin,
yes,
he had a great role in this novel as well. Like, not great. He was awful in the beginning. Like, yeah, in the meeting, he appeared with no entourage, and, like, he was awful to Feyre and Rhys.
But he was invited, wasn't he? But he didn't give, like, any RSVP or anything. He didn't say he was coming.
He showed up like a beast. She even described it like when he showed up at her ramshackle house or whatever. Yeah, but, like, most importantly, what he did was save her at the camp. Yeah. That's when he really showed his hand, like... Mm-hmm. He saved her, he bought her time, and he escaped from the window she created, so...
That's what I keep saying. Tamlin isn't a bad guy. He's just going through something terrible, you know?
And I sympathize with him very much. Like,
me too.
I lost touch with that, with my sympathy to him for a while, but then...
In Akawar, it was retrieved again, and in A Court of Frost and Starlight,
that would be another thing.
It's very intense, but we're going to talk about that later on. Yes.
But, and then when he gave his seed of power to Rhys.
Be happy, Farah.
He was, like, he's not the bad guy.
No, he's not. Guys, he's not. He's, like, I don't know.
He's a wounded beast.
Yeah, he's just wounded. And I guess, we know by now that Farah and Tamlin weren't meant to be. And that's obvious. They were bad for each other. So I don't know. I'm just hoping that he will find someone.
Yes,
you know?
That doesn't mean that, like, not because they're not meant to be. That doesn't mean that he
shouldn't have
someone
or
a mate.
He should be happy himself. Yeah. You know, because I even told you this before. When we talked about the moment when he showed up in the meeting and. Mm. You have to see it from a perspective of, this is the person that you loved, you know? He loved Farah, and he still loves her. He did the unspeakable to get her back, you know?
Yes.
He wasn't thinking clearly. He just loved her so much, or he was trying to fill a void within himself that he just wasn't thinking rationally.
Yeah.
He did the most stupidest thing ever, and now that he showed up at the meeting, he saw her happy with another man, mm-hmm. and that hurts,
that
like
hurts,
hell,
yes,
you know?
Yes. And on the other side, with Farah, he still affects her in a way. Like, she cares, so whatever he does affects her, you know?
Yes. That's true. Yeah. But they're still linked in a way, you know, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of history, you know? He helped, I mean, she did love him, I guess.
Went under the mountain for him and everything.
And she did everything for the guy. And so you can't forget that, you know. You can't just erase it from your mind. It's part of you, you know. Mm-hmm. It's part of your history. So he's still a person. Don't just label him a villain. No, we're in the 21st century. We love analyzing villains. We know
we like to give them a backstory.
Now. You know, we like
make
to give
movies
them...
for them and novellas for them.
Yes,
and, like,
so
novels from their perspective.
Exactly.
Like,
so we know that villains aren't just villains. There's a backstory. There's a reason why they are the way they are. You know, and I guess I think the problem with villains is that they're doing the wrong things. No, for the right... No, I'm sorry. That's the other way around. Hmm. They're doing the right things for the wrong reasons? No. Help me out here.
No. Villains usually believe in what they do is
right.
And what they want is right. And is rightful.
Thank you.
Their, That's what is their right. So
yes,
they do everything for it, believing that it's good.
But it's the good thing to do. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you. That's basically what Tamlin did. He thought he was doing the right thing of getting her back because, again, maybe from his perspective, he thought Feyre was in danger in the Night Court. You know, he needed to have her back. He wanted to save her. Yeah. And he didn't see any other option. He was helpless. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't have any power.
Yes.
He has power, but not as strong as Rhys.
Yes, and he doesn't have the allies. He doesn't have the backing.
Yeah.
And just like Lucien and the father and Tamlin, we don't have those chapters where Feyre is with Rhys. What are they doing? What is happening to them? What's going through their head?
Yeah.
We just see the final action and we wonder.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Tamlin deserves a lot of attention, honestly, in this novel. And really, for those people who hate Tamlin, don't be quick to judge. Like,
yeah.
Just
I mean, I'm sorry I did that. I regret that.
I told you from the start, yeah. From the first novel.
I mean, I read the novels for like 3 times now.
Yeah.
And every cycle, it's the same. That's I true. Like Tamlin. I hate Tamlin. I sympathize with Tamlin. Every and that's like, I chapeau Sarah J. Maas for having the same effect.
Yeah. Like, that's true. That's true. I mean, it's genius as a writer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is it for this chapter. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you in the next one.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you for making it till the end of this chapter. We are still continuing on with our series theme. For next time, we have the recent novella Find Me by Tahereh Mafi that's told from the perspective of our personal favorite character, Kenji. We post every second Monday. My name is Haneen. Mark the page for chapter 14.